How's everybody doing?
Good.
Ready for learning today and worship? That's what we're here for. My prayer this morning, my Lord, was that we want Him to be exalted today and be honored and worshiped. And for us as His people to hear from Him today, whether it's in the teaching of His Word or the preaching of His Word or just sharing with one another's lives. Because in each one of you, we have the Spirit of God, do we not? So God uses us in that way. As we've been learning from Daniel so far, of how God uses individuals and for His honor and for His purpose. So it's a beautiful day out. The sun is shining. How many cut their grass for the first time? We had our grass cut this week, and well, I tell you, it's really green, but then I think about what it's going to look like in the middle of August, you know. but I'm glad you're here this morning. I really am thankful to the Lord for this opportunity to teach the Word of God. And so let's go ahead and open a word of prayer, and we'll pick up where we left off last week in Daniel chapter 1. I think most of you have them already, but there are some outlines in the back if you don't have one. But let's go ahead and pray. Father, we are so thankful, Lord, for Your goodness. We are so thankful for Your mercy and Your grace. Lord, I wonder, where would we be today if it were not for Your mercy and Your grace? We would be people most miserable with no hope. But Lord, thank You that You have called us by name. You have reached out to us. You have taken us out from our sin, the dominion of darkness, and You have brought us into Your wonderful kingdom of light. Thank You, Lord, for what You have done in each one of our hearts. And Lord, because of that, Lord, we come this morning as Your children. We come gathered together, unified in our hearts. Lord, we want to honor You today. We want to worship You today in truth and in spirit. And Lord, the only way that's going to happen is if Your Holy Spirit would continue to work in each one of our hearts. Lord, for us, Lord, that have had a difficult week, I pray that today we would find encouragement of being together with brothers and sisters and being in Your presence. And Lord, I pray that through the teaching and the preaching of Your Word today, Lord, that we will grow by it, that, Lord, that we would be challenged by it, that we'd be instructed by it, exhorted to live lives that are honoring to You and to Your dear Son, Jesus. So bless our time together, Lord. Bless each Sunday school teacher here today and bless each student. Lord, we know that without You, we can do nothing, nor can we learn anything. You certainly are the Spirit of truth. So I ask, Lord, for Your blessing on each one today. I ask, Lord, for Your help for myself. And, Lord, that You would be glorified today as we worship in the next hour. We love You, Lord, with all of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, again, turn over to Daniel chapter 1. And, you know, we spent much time last week really talking about what it means to be one who is committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are living a life of not compromising, the importance of your testimony and your walk of faith. And and that's been my prayer, is that as we study the life of Daniel, it's not just all of the prophecy things, that will come later. But more than else, my other prayer for us as believers is that we would see a model in the life of Daniel. A model that says, here is one who, even at a very young age, and there's great evidence of that, who is committed to his Lord, and he will not compromise. And so I'm going to start actually down here in verse 8, and because that's where we kind of left off when we were talking about the whole life of Daniel and what a compromising life, uncompromising life would look like, okay? Remember, he says right here, Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself. And I think that is so important for us. And that's what God expects from each one of us. Daniel was not some kind of super saint, as we've been learning. He was just as human as you and I. Daniel found himself in some very difficult situations. You and I will find ourselves in this journey of life through difficult situations. But it's his faith in God that really makes tremendous difference, and his resolve that he is committed to this God and that he will not compromise his faith. What I'd like to do is just kind of lead up to verse 17 and just kind of go over some things that that talks about the uncompromising life. And remember, his uncompromising life really depended on his faith in the true living God. And we, as we've seen already, and we've talked about, and we're going to see it much in this study of Daniel, is Daniel was a man of God who really held to the Word of God. He studied the Word of God. His life was motivated by the Word of God. The actions he took were all based upon the Word of God. And so what does that look like? And we'll see that even through this, through the rest of this chapter right here. And so what I want you to see right here is that this uncompromising life will be one that a person is led by boldness, okay? And I want you to see this. It says, Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. And here we see this. Therefore, he asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow him not to defile himself. See, if we're going to be those who are really committed to the Word of God, it will give us great boldness to live the Word of God. You know, as we learn the things that God has for us and helps us in the decision-making of our life, you know, even one of my favorite verses, I think of this, is Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. And it says, let Christ rule in your hearts, okay? And what he means by that is that when you know Christ and you know the Word of God and you come to a fork in the road, I have learned through my own walk and journey of life is that when I come to that point, I don't know what to do. What I will do is I'll just stay there. Okay, I won't go to the left or the right. And particularly for Nancy and I, major decisions in our life, we will not go forward, make a left or a right, until such time that the peace of Christ rules in our hearts. In other words, we allow the Word of God to show us and be the peace that He gives in her heart and my heart. Okay. And I believe that's what it is in Daniel. He has so much faith in the Word of God is that he can then say that, you know what, as we talked about this, God brought him to Babylon for a reason. And we're going to see that. I mean, God has tremendous plans for this young man. And he understands this. He understood the Word of God as we looked before where it said that, you know, I have plans for you. Okay? These were words from Jeremiah that he knew. I have plans for you, not to be fearful, but a hope for the future. In the same way, that's for us, is that when we live by the Word of God and we have this relationship with God that says, I will not compromise my faith, I'll not compromise my character that God is doing and God is forming me in the image of His Son. See, that's the character. As we live out the Word of God, it brings Christian character to us. It brings a people that says, you know what? And like Daniel right here, it gives him this boldness that he knows that they were brought there for a reason, and he's already been told that you are going to eat the king's meat, food and also drink his wine. But you see right here, and a lot of Christians would just say, well, that's what I'm being told to do. I'm kind of locked up in here. I didn't have any plans to be here, but I was kind of forced here. And so, God, you put me here. It looks like I'm going to have to do it. I'm going to have to break your laws. But no, Daniel takes a stand, as we talked about last week, and he has boldness to come, and he asks the head eunuch then. He asks the chief of the eunuchs to allow him not to defile himself. You see, not only the boldness, it leads then to living out our character as true believers and living out the kind of life that God has called us to. And here's another thing that it gives right here. I want you to look at that. Not only does it lead to boldness in character of life, but it also leads to God's protection. Look at number 9 right here, okay? And God gave Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the chief of the eunuchs. Now, I want you to know this, is that when you take a stand for God and God, you decide that this is what the Word is showing me, this is the truth, this is what I need to do, I'm not going to compromise my faith. And when you take that kind of stand, I want you to take a look at Daniel's life, and you see right here is that God gave compassion and favor in sight of the one who was ruling over him. And we've seen this, we talked about this before, in Joseph's life. Very similar. Here he is, he's a slave, and he has such favor for the one that's ruling over him, to the point where that guy gives him total control of his household and all of his affairs. And so what I want you to think about is, in our life as believers, is that we're going to take a stand for God, is that we could have boldness, it brings character to us, and also then that we could depend on God to bring the results and protect us. So we see right here the protection of God over Daniel's life. You think it was a coincidence, guy, just all of a sudden? I mean, this is a Babylonian. This is a high official. You know, they just came from a great slaughter and took all these captives back with him. I mean, he could just say, you know what? I don't like the way you look. I don't like the way you stare at me. I don't like your kind of actions. I don't like the fact that you're, every time I turn around, you're praying or something like that. He could just snatch him out and say, that's it, we're done with you. I don't have to deal with you. So who do you think put it in his heart to show favor to someone who was an enemy and taken captive? You ever think of that? God. It was his God. God was honoring him for the stand that he was taking. And another thing it leads to. Now, look what happened right here. God, look, verse 9. God gave Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the chief of the eunuchs. What we see right here, the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king. See, he reports directly to the king. He's the chief eunuch. He's the head honcho over what the king gave him responsibility for. And so Daniel comes to this one and asks him to allow him not to defile himself. He makes this plea. But then this chief eunuch says to Daniel, I fear my lord who assigned your food and your drink. For why should he see that you were in worse condition than the youths who are of your own age? So you would endanger my head with the king. How? Well, you think Daniel feels now? Well, see, there it is. I take a stand for you, God. I'm doing exactly what you want me to do. I'm not going to defile myself. I even plead my case to the head guy in charge. And the door slams shut. He doesn't allow it. Well, you know, most people would say, yeah, well, God closed the door. I guess I'll just have a good time eating as much and getting fat and taking all the delicacies and start drinking and everything else. See, sometimes we're tested that way, aren't we? But I want you to see then that Daniel, not only is he bold, not only does he have great character, but then we also see his persistence. And look at verse 11. Then Daniel said to the steward, whom the chief of the eunuchs had assigned over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, test your servant for 10 days. Let us be given vegetables to eat and to drink. By the way, that says something about his character right there. He comes right out and he says, I normally, that's all I'm doing is just, I usually, that's all I do is eat vegetables and drink water. Now that sounds like somebody who's what? Like John the Baptist or, you know, others that we would call Samson. He's a Nazarene. It means somebody who's committed to doing the Lord's will. It kind of shows something of his character. You see what I'm saying? But we see here his persistence. Then Daniel said to the steward, whom the chief of the had signed over to Daniel, Hananiah, test your servants for 10 days. Let us be given vegetables to eat and to drink. You see something right here? He says, test. By the way, and what this guy does is, steward, he's called the steward. His name is Meltzer, I think, if I'm right. I thought it's somewhere it says that. But what I want you to focus on is that this man reported directly to the chief eunuch. See, he didn't report directly to the king. Where the head eunuch says, I report directly to the king and my head is going to be taken. He's fearful for his life. But now this guy, he's got compassion for Daniel and his friends. And in Daniel, is not only is he persistent, but you see that, as we talked about before, last week, he didn't start screaming, demonstrating, you know, getting mad, anything else like that. We see that Daniel responds in a very respectful way. And he comes up with a plan. Well, just test me for 10 days. Just test us. By the way, our faith is always being tested, is it not? Turn with me over to James chapter 1. Now, we've had our brother Marcel teach this book. And one of the first things we learned about was the very fact that as believers, James chapter 1, starting at verse 2, it says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials. You think Daniel's going through a trial? Of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. I like that. Lacking in nothing in relationship to your walk with the Lord and being obedient to the Lord and God providing for you and God leading you. Not going off on your own, not going to the left or to the right, but stay in the course, as we talked about last week. And so as we read on, then you see right here is that not only do we see the persistence, but it takes faith in a sense to say to this guy, and just test us for 10 days. then let our appearance and the appearance of the youths who eat the king's food be observed by you, and deal with your servants according to what you see. Now, I believe that took a lot of faith to say that. I like what John MacArthur brings out when I was studying one of his transcripts on this. And he really believes is that 10 days? Now, I don't know about you. I don't know how many of you have ever been on a diet. You know, we've all tried different diets, you know, particularly when it comes around January 1st, we make these, you know, new year, I'm going to start things off and everything else. But I tell you what, 10 days? I mean, I could hardly even see 1 or 2 pounds in 10 days, you know. But you know what I'm talking about. But think about this. He's given a test for 10 days. And as John MacArthur would say, he really believes that what he was trusting was God responding in a way that it was a blessing from God, that he couldn't physically, you know, you can't see that big of a change in 10 days. So in a sense, he was relying on what God would do. Do you see that? You see that in a sense? 10 days? I mean, just give me, I mean, how are you going to see a major difference? So in a sense, he's relying on God's intervention, on divine intervention. He really believed that God had him there for a purpose, and so far he was under God's care. And now that he's come to, you know, he first gets shut door from the high eunuch, but now he comes up with this plan and he comes to a man that's not really reporting directly to the king. He doesn't have the fear like the head eunuch did. But don't you think that when he agreed to do that, don't you think the head eunuch knew this? See, but now if the king finds out, it's not my head. I got somebody I could blame. I don't know if that's what his thinking was. But I believe it was God intervening in both of these men, giving them compassion, and then Daniel, being the faithful man that he is, God was honoring that. And so we see the testing of his faith. So he listened to them in this matter and tested them for 10 days. In verse 15, at the end of those 10 days, it was seen that they were better in appearance and fatter in flesh than all the youths who ate at the king's food. Like I said, this is divine intervention. I really believe that probably in those 10 days, who knows? I mean, God's able to do this, okay? Maybe the rest of those young men started eating some bad meat and really got sick. Or whatever those vegetables were in that water, I believe that God just touched those young men and made them look and appear so much better. See, you and I got to understand is God's able to do that. We have a great God. That's me, you know. Some people, you know, they don't believe it, you know. They think I'm Italian. You talk all the time with my hands, you know. I don't look Italian. I'm not Italian. I'm never say that, but people, you know, that's probably my fault. Anyways, but I just want you to think about that. God intervened, and I believe that no matter what he made, the other ones look so much worse, and they got sick, and whatever it means that God wanted, or that God just said, you know what, you guys are taking a stand in my name, and you're being obedient to me, and I'm going to bless you. By the way, the opposite is true, too. If we are going to be disobedient, and we're not going to follow God's ways, and we're going to compromise in our life, how in the world do we expect God's blessing on our life? How will we expect God to bless us? It's even an answer to prayers. It's not that I can't hear or my hands are so short I can't touch. But it's your sin that keeps me from blessing you or answering your prayers. So it's a principle here for us. Let's be like a Daniel. Let's stay on the straight and narrow path. Let's have a faith that says, I believe God's word and I could live God's word. And the more I live it, the more my faith is strengthened. And as we're going to see, the more God could use me for his kingdom and for his honor and for his glory. So then we see right here, then it leads then, verse 16. So the steward took away their food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables. So we see the test. They hold to it. I believe just as John MacArthur would say, I believe in divine intervention in this, and these guys are shining lights. Now, by the way, God wants all of you, myself included, to be shining lights for his honor and his glory. It's a dark world we live out in. A world that's blinded with darkness. Men love darkness rather than light. And God needs us to be like Daniel. Different. So what if they call you weird or call you a Jesus person? Consider it an honor then that you're standing out and you're being picked out as somebody that's different. We all need to be different for Christ. Amen? That's what we're called to do. But not only do we see then the testing and the blessings, look right here. As for these four youths, verse 17, God gave them, and see, that's the blessing. That's God blessing them. That's God honoring them for the stand that they took. As for these four youths, God gave them learning and skill in all literature and wisdom, visions and dreams. You see that? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Just remember that. God did not leave you as an orphan, didn't leave you alone. We've been given the mighty Holy Spirit to live within us, the Spirit of Christ. And he made it very clear, Jesus did, without me you can do nothing. But with him, in his will, for his honor and his glory, there ain't nothing that we can't do if God wants it that way. See, he's sovereign. Now, that doesn't mean that we kind of just take it saying that, well, you know what, I'm like a superhuman. I could do whatever I want because God's going to bless me because I call myself a child of God and God has touched me. Don't be presumptuous. But keep your heart and mind stayed on him. Allow God to work in your life. Allow him to put the roadblocks out there or to open up the doors. So let's look now then at the God's provision of success for Daniel and his friends. So here we see in verse 17, God's special blessings. And for the four youths, God gave them learning and skills, intelligence and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Remember James 1:5, we were in James. It says what? If any lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that God gives all men liberally. See, sure, these guys had to learn. I mean, it was quite a challenge for them. Taken out of their Jewish roots, taken to a new land, being brainwashed, indoctrinated. By the way, see, as we mentioned last time, because of their commitment to God and knowing the Word of God and standing on the Word of God, even the things they would learn, like I mentioned last week, our young people in colleges today. There's nothing wrong with learning, but they use the Word of God to discern between right and wrong. There's a lot of bad teaching out there. That's why it's important, particularly for you parents. You got young kids. You can never start early enough to start teaching them the Word of God and make it a daily thing. Spend time with them. I remember many times when I would, in our evangelism and going out meeting people, and I'd had a lot of times, and you probably have had the same thing. People come up and said, well, you know, I'm going to wait till my kid gets, let him decide for himself. When he gets old enough, he could decide whether or not he really should seek God or not, or believe in this Jesus that you're trying to share with me. You know, wait till he gets old enough and let him decide for himself. And I would share with him. I says, you know what? As parents, we'll spend so much time and so much money in preparing our children for this world's system, in its education. I mean, we'll buy them every, you know, for years we provide for them, and there's nothing wrong with them. We need to do that. Preparing them for this world's system. But yet for eternity, something that's going to affect them for eternity, you won't spend no time investing, knowing what the truth is. And when they get a certain age, you're just going to throw them out to the dogs. Shame. See, that's why it says, train up your child when he's young, and he'll not depart from that when he gets older. We have a great responsibility as parents to teach the truth. These men knew the truth. Even things they were learning that were not right, they were learning to make a decision based upon the Word of God and what was right and what was wrong as far as their relationship and who they were as servants of the Almighty God. So at the end of the time, verse 18, when the king had commanded that they should be brought in, the chief eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And by the way, it says here in verse 19, and the king spoke with them, and among all of them, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore, they stood before the king. That word spoke right there actually means that he actually, now remember, why is he doing this? Why did he call for these young men? You know, he wanted the best of the kingdoms he took over. He took over Israel, defeated Israel. The nation was devastated. Took the best of their young men. As we said before, is that as a king like that, having all these kingdoms under him, you had to control people. And one way you control them, you take people of likeness, Israelis, you take the best of them, and you train them, and you train them in the ways of the way you want the kingdom to be run, people that learn your system, because there's no way the king is going to go out and visit all of his kingdom and make all the decisions. He needs good people under him and good people to trust. Now, there's another thing it says. Why did he pit such young guys? I mean, certainly he had many magicians and wizards and sorcerers and these Chaldeans. I mean, he had a handful. It must be that two things I believe is that he probably was getting tired of some of them, wasn't getting good counsel. And so he figured, well, it's in these lands that I've taken over, I'll train up people, and I'll make them just the way I want them, and I'll take care of them. I mean, that's why I'm going to give them my best food and my best wine. I mean, they're going to owe it to me, and they're going to see what it means to be part of my kingdom, to be part of my ministry. as ministers, I mean. So he examines them, and basically what it says right here is that not only did he examine them and question them in that, but he was actually at the same time, that word reflects that he was comparing them one to another. I don't know how many came before the king, but we know at least out of all the ones he did, the only ones he could really say anything good about was these four men who took a stand for God and would not compromise their faith. And as we've seen already, that God was honoring that and God was protecting them. God was blessing them. And God blessed them with much wisdom for the responsibility that they were going to incur. God was giving them the means. And he says here in verse 20, and in every manner of wisdom, and understanding about which the king inquired. I mean, he took time. These were going to be some of his top advisors. So he would take time to really examine them and was comparing them one from another. And here again, we see something. And he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters that were in all his kingdom. What a testimony. 10 times better. You see, that's the kind of influence you and I are supposed to have in this world. I'm not saying you got to be 10 times better than somebody else. I'm just saying is that when you live your life and you're committed to Jesus Christ as a disciple, and you're committed that you are going to stay on a straight and narrow path, you're not going to compromise your faith to the left or the right, but you, God's got your whole heart. That's the most important thing, is the motivation. Where does it come from? It comes from the depths of your soul, and it comes from the very fact that you love your Lord with all your heart. You are so thankful for what he's done in your life, and you've seen time and time again, whether you've gone through the deep valleys of life or whether you're on the mountaintop, your God is with you, never to forsake you. And he gives you the enablement to live this life. They were 10 times better. Why? Because I'm telling you, they were shining lights and God had purpose for these men. And I want you to think about it. I don't care what kind of life you've gone through and the deep valleys and everything else that we've been talking about, but every one of you sitting here in this room, God has purpose for you. And we're going to see that. Look at this. This is unbelievable. Look at verse 21. And Daniel was there until the year of King Cyrus. Well, who's King Cyrus? Well, we're going to learn as we go through the following chapters that God's going to use Daniel to show him what's going to happen to his people. Remember, they're in captivity. What's going to happen to his people? And he's going to show him the kingdoms of this world all the way through the time until Jesus Christ comes back again. King Cyrus was one of the kings of the Medo-Persians. We're going to find out in Daniel that Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom, almost all the way through this time, is going to be under the reign of the Babylonians. And when it says right here, and Daniel was there until the first year of King Cyrus, you know what? He was about 83 years old in that span. Now, we talked about he came there when he was 13 or 17, somewhere in that age. We didn't know exactly the age of him. But if he was a young man, he was probably in that age group. And so here he is. He says he's been there now since, will be there until the first year of King Cyrus. I find that amazing, and you're going to find that amazing. We go through the rest of this book. You know what that's saying? That he went through Nebuchadnezzar, went through a couple of his sons, his grandson, and now he's even gone through the Medo-Persians, who defeat Babylon. And it's predicted. God already told him ahead of time this was going to happen. But the unbelievable thing about it is that Daniel's still there. And we're going to find out, we're going to see in the next chapter, he's going to be elevated, just like Joseph was, to the second in command almost. And when one king goes down and the next king comes up, or the next kingdom comes up, you know what happens? They go through, and when they take over a kingdom, as we already seen when we talked about in our first week of what happened, is that some of the kings lose their lives, or their eyes are chopped out. And for Daniel to go through those kind of kingdoms and a transfer of kingdom of power and find him that he's still there, I want you to know, why is he still there? Because he's a great influence for the kingdom of God. And he's doing God's will. And he's committed to God. There's no wavering in his life. As I said before, when we first started out this study of Daniel, there is no other guy that we see like Daniel in the Old Testament. Oh, he's not perfect. We're going to see when we get to chapter 9. He prays and he confesses his own sins. He's not sinless. He's not a super saint. But his heart is totally committed to his God. And you won't find anything in Daniel's life. In fact, we're going to see in one chapter, it's going to land up him in a lion's den. Why? Because he's taken a stand and he won't compromise. And people are trying to find ways of getting even. You know, being elevated right here, you don't think when he says that he didn't, and he says this, the king had to say this. He didn't find any of them that were, he looks at these four men and they were 10 times better than anybody else. What do you think the other young men, the others who were of the Chaldean, the other magicians and everything else, what do you think they might have felt? A little envious, jealousy. And yet we see here at the end of, almost towards the end of his life, 83 years old, and he's still there. You see, if God's got in his plans for you, even if you may be in a terrible situation in your own mind, now, we could all give testimonies. I mean, I've said this before in my own life. You know, there was one job I was there for 16 years. And I can remember almost daily driving, it took me an hour to get home, almost driving every day and just saying, Lord, why do you got me here? 16 years I was at that job. But I look back now and I could see God's purposes, what God was doing in my own life and what he was doing in others. Let me wrap it up this way. I want you to think about this. Daniel knew, reading from Jeremiah, that he was going to be there at least 70 years, okay, the captivity. But I want you to think about the influence he had. Think about, as we're going to learn, the influence he has on somebody like one of the most powerful kings, King Nebuchadnezzar, that we really believe is that he finally comes to the Lord himself. He comes to faith. This wicked king who, if you looked at him wrong, you'd have your head chopped off. He got so mad one day that he turned up the furnace 7 times hotter and threw 3 of these young men in there. And yet, because of the influence of Daniel, we believe he's one of the people in the scriptures that actually writes his own testimony. It's written in his language. It's his testimony. And he gives great honor to the God of the universe, this one who at one time thought he was God, and to God humbled him. So think of the influence he had on him. Think of all the other people that while he's in a high official, he had influence on. But here's something that really comes out. Talks here about King Cyrus. What did King Cyrus do? He allowed the Jews to go back after the captivity. Did he not? I mean, where do you think that influence came from? From Daniel. You know, you look at the fact that Israel returning back, the rebuilding of the wall, the restoring of the national Israel. Here's some too. We talk about the wise men coming to see Jesus and giving him honor. We got word the King of the Jews has been born. We've come here to honor him. You know where they came from? The land of the Chaldeans. That's where they came from. How did they know this? You see the influence that this man had? And we're going to see the influence that he even has on us today, of all his writings, what God used him to prophesy of the kingdoms of this world and the coming kingdom of Jesus Christ. We're going to learn that. And so his influence is still marching on. You see, when you're committed and God's got your heart and you don't compromise your faith, I'm not saying you're not going to have problems in your life. We're going to see this young man. I mean, he could have lost his life taking a stand for not eating the king's meat. And here we see him, he's 83 years old. That's what it says at the end of his chapter. He was there all the way into Cyrus. All those kingdoms coming in, all the problems that he's going to experience. And he doesn't compromise. How about you? When things get tough, how do you respond? When things aren't going the way you think they should go. Lord, what do you got me here for 16 years? No. Keep your eyes on your Savior. Keep your eyes focused on him. Seek the things above where Christ is. Amen. See, our God, this God that we learned about what he's doing in Daniel's life, he's your God. He's the same today. He hasn't changed. He wants you to be an influence in this world. We're all, in a sense, to be influencing this world. Like I said earlier, we are the children of the light. We are the children of the kingdom. And this world out here, if it don't change, is going to hell. We're seeing signs of that, of the devastation of what happens when a nation turns its back on its God. But even amidst of that, we could be ones who are a great influence to bring people to the kingdom of light. Let's be that way. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time together this morning. Thank you, Lord, for what a wonderful example of a faithful, godly man and his friends. And Lord, you did great, mighty things through them. And Lord, yeah, we're not a Daniel, but we're your children. And we want to be what you have called us to be, children of light, children who are to be like your son, Jesus Christ, that we would be those who make a decision that you, Lord, have all of us, our whole heart. And Lord, you've called us to be royal priests, that we would help those in darkness to see the marvelous light, that we would know that we have great hope, because Lord, you have touched our lives and you brought us into your forever kingdom. You have saved us. Well, Lord, we also know that as Daniel, you wanted to influence the world and you call us to the same kind of pattern. To be ones who are not conformers to this world, but we're transformers. So I pray, Lord, that as we learn, as we walk through this study of Daniel, Lord, help us that we would be those who are committed to you with our whole heart, and that you could use us not to be conformed to this world, but we would be transformers, bringing others to the marvelous truth that is in your Son, Jesus Christ. Be with us now, Lord, as we go into the next hour. Lord, may our hearts come with attitudes of great worship and honor to you, our God. In Jesus' name, amen.